Hello and welcome to Connect Learning. It's April 26th, 2005. Music was a little different from what I usually play in my podcast. The music you just heard was part of Sunday's 2005 North Carolina All-State High School Honors Band. These are the best musicians in North Carolina. And my son, a junior, was second chair euphonium. Does a dad proud. We're going to come back to the All-State Band a little bit later. But for now, let's talk a little more about literacy. And I talked about literacy earlier this morning via email with a potential client. We were talking about technology and literacy and how there were lots of useful ways to use technology to help kids develop reading and math skills. And this is very true. But what I personally find more interesting is how technology has changed what it means to be literate. If all of the reading that we ever did was on paper, in books that were available in our physical environment, then merely being able to read that text would make us literate. But when we read from information sources that are global and even interglobal, and we access that information from indexes of billions of pages of information, then reading takes on a much richer and more exciting meaning. As I said in the last podcast, literacy in the 21st century has much more to do with being able to expose the truth in the information we encounter than it does in merely being able to decode the text. But what about math? There's a platitude that I often hear from people who are trying to illustrate how bad schools are and how they're not doing their jobs. They say, look at McDonald's. How they had to build these special cash registers because kids just can't do math today. Well, I suspect that most kids today could handle a basic cash register from 50 years ago and the 10 or 15 or 20 customers who came into the general store during any given day. The difference is that a typical McDonald's cashier is not going to handle 10 customers. They're handling hundreds of transactions a day. And I'd like to see anyone handle that on paper or even on an old-style cash register. Numbers are different today. Math is different. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to be teaching our kids how to count change. Kids need to learn to add, subtract, count, measure, calculate. They must not only learn how to perform basic operations on paper, but they need to become fluent in the language of numbers. The difference today is that most of the time math problems are not going to come as a dozen numbers on a piece of paper, but they're going to come as thousands of numbers, and they're going to be digital. And unless we're teaching students how to process thousands of digital numbers in order to solve problems and accomplish goals, then they won't be literate in their future. I used to do a demonstration where I found data on an economics website on my country's trade imports and exports over the last 20, 30, 40 years. I don't remember. I took the data and I moved it into a spreadsheet program, and with just a few mouse clicks generated a line graph that showed how our imports and exports have actually crossed each other over the last decades. Then I asked the participants to think about what else was happening during those years that might account for the exports exceeding the imports or vice versa. You see, what I was doing was making those numbers tell their story. And that's what math is all about, making numbers tell their story. The numbers that are available to us on the net today can help us to tell rich stories that give us a much clearer picture of our life and culture and environment and the effects that we have. And the way that data is available to us today, you just simply can't tell those stories on paper. Kids have got to learn math. But are we helping them to learn 21st century math, to handle 21st century numbers? Let's back up a little bit further. When I was coming up in school, we learned math because you needed to be able to process numbers. Numbers were about all that we could process, though. Text was for reading. We learned a little bit of writing, but text was mostly for reading. Images were for looking at. Audio was for listening to. Video was for watching. Today, though, they're all made of numbers. Images, audio, video, they're all made of numbers. And because they're all made of numbers, all information can now be processed. We're teaching our kids how to process text with a word processor. But are we teaching them how to process images, how to process sound, how to process video? Are we teaching them how to build information product with these information raw materials? There are certainly places where courageous and inventive teachers are teaching their children, their students, how to build with information raw materials. But it's not what we're expecting from all of our schools. We're expecting little more than was expected of me in the 1950s, which is about all we're going to get from many of our kids. They're only going to be good for the 1950s. When I finish talking on this microphone, I'll spend about an hour processing numbers that make up my recorded voice and numbers that make up my son's band and the numbers that make up the digital music loops that are supplied by my computer through GarageBand. I'll be processing and building all that together into a multimedia podcast. This is math, or what I'm doing for the same reasons that I learned math, so that I could process information, add value to information. So at the same time that we're teaching our students basic math skills, we should also be teaching them to process text and images and audio and video for the very same reason, so that they can add value to information. We test our kids on their ability to consistently perform mathematical operations, but are we teaching them to employ those numbers? Let's listen to a little more music. My son wants to major in music. It's all he talks about. Doesn't talk about history. I can't get him to talk about history. He won't talk about math or literature or chemistry. He has good teachers. I know him. He has excellent teachers. But he's not leaving those classrooms with any passion for how he wants to spend his future. It's only music. Hey, it's not because his band director is a pushover. He's not. He is fiercer than any football coach I ever had. You play a wrong note, he climbs down your throat. Now, that was his old band director. I haven't seen his new band director up close yet, so I can't really characterize him. But I know that my son's passion for music is growing. Why have he and his friends become so interested in music? Well, I'll tell you why. Because his band director's got a $50,000 a year budget. Do you have a $50,000 a year budget? Does your library have a $50,000 a year budget? Just think of the extracurricular activities in your area that you could have with $50,000 a year. Now, understand that this money does not come from the county or the state, or certainly not the federal government. It comes from parents who pay hundreds of dollars a year to have our children in the marching band. Now, if you can't afford the money, then you volunteer for jobs like chaperoning band trips and supporting practices and band camps. Most of us pay the money and volunteer too, because we so love being able to watch our teenage children being teenagers, growing and enjoying learning and becoming better at what they love. How often do you get to watch your high school child being a high schooler? We love it. And you know, this compels in me a question, and this is a weird question. I don't know the answer to it. But the question is, how can we make chemistry a performing art? How do we make history a performing art, or literature or math a performing art? How do we turn our classrooms inside out so that the community can see the excitement that is possible when preparing their children for the 21st century. That's what we need, is a way to inspire the community through their children's joy and exuberance and learning. Tell me how we can do that. Let's go back to the music for another minute.
Let us know what you think of the show. Go to davidwarlick.com/podcast and comment with your ideas and your questions. Call the voice message number at 206-888-2967 or email David at david.warlick@gmail.com. Next time, he'll be talking about communicating in the 21st century. And he's also going to be on the road for the next week or so, so he's going to be carrying his iPod around with him and asking lots of questions and learning from innovative educators who are getting out of the classrooms to share and learn.
Does a dad proud.